2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. How many sees what that says there? All Scripture, this whole Bible, is given by inspiration of God. It is inspired of God. It is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. Now, it is profitable for doctrine. Then he comes on down and he says, reproof. It reproves us. The next thing it does, it corrects us. Amen? That the man of God may be what? Perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Over in the book of St. John, chapter 5, and verse 39, Jesus speaking this himself, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. He said there, search the Scriptures. Search, you know, don't just read the Bible, search the Scriptures. In them you think you have eternal life, but he said, these are they that testify of me. So what has he got here? He's saying that this is a blueprint. Now let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16 here just a moment and read that Scripture. I quoted it a while ago, but I want to read it now. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Now, I would like to go over here to another Scripture over in 2 Timothy chapter 2, and it tells us something here to verse 15 and reading through verse 19. Study to show thyself approved unto God, not to man, but unto God. Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings, for they shall increase unto more ungodliness. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom the Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred, saying that the resurrection is past already, and overthrow the faith of some. Here's what I want to get. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his, and let every man that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold, of silver, but also of wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. Now I want you to notice here that all Scriptures given by inspiration of God, it's profitable for doctrine. It's our blueprint that we go by. And Jesus said, search this here. For in them you think you have eternal life, but he said, these are they that testify of me. How many knows he's the way, John 14 and 6, he is the way, he is the truth, and he is the life. So that's what he's talking about. He said, I'm the way, John 14 and 6. He said, I'm the truth, and I am the life. And we're to search these Scriptures, for in them we have a pattern there of eternal life. But he said, these are they that testify of me. So let's begin to go through here just a little bit and kind of put a few things together if we possibly can here tonight. And let's go back to St. John chapter 1 and verse 14. Now the pattern. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory. The glory was of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bare witness of him and cried, saying, this was he of whom I spake. He that cometh after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness have all we received, and grace for grace. All right, now, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, instruction in righteousness. Now, what is he saying? This is our blueprint here. How did this Bible get written? This Bible was written by holy men of old, it says, that were moved by the Holy Ghost. So we're going right back to the Holy Ghost again, ain't we? And then we come Acts of the Apostles 10:38 said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Now, what's the first thing that he said there? God anointed Jesus of Nazareth. What is he anointed with? He's anointed with the Holy Ghost and power. What's he do? His job is to go about doing good and healing all that are oppressed of the devil. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. And so we find that in St. John's Gospel, chapter 7, verse 38, it said, he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow what? Rivers of living water. So we got to believe. Matthew chapter 12, verse 35 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth what? The good thing. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth evil things. So the pattern is for Jesus that we bring forth what? Good things. Does all people that go to church bring forth good things? Not all of them do. So they have to have preaching. Is that right? The 10th chapter of Romans said, how can they hear without a preacher? And how can he preach except he be sent? Well, guess who sends the preacher? The Lord sends him with the pattern, which is the Word of God. The Word was made flesh. Verse 14 again of St. John chapter 1. And his Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory and the glory of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Now, how did God choose to bring forth a son? His plan was from the beginning, from the foundation of the world. The Bible teaches us that. So his plan was to bring forth a son. And that son, and all the way through the Bible, God clarified this, that Jesus was his son. On the mountain, in 17th chapter of the book of Matthew, verse 1 through 5, it speaks there of the plan of God. Peter said, let's build three tabernacles, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elias. But the cloud overshadowed them, and a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Then we find over in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 3, verse 16, Jesus was baptized, and he came up out of the water, and a dove came and lit upon him, and he saw this, but a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, in what? In whom I am well pleased. Well, you would think that he's not going to have no problem then, wouldn't you? This is my beloved son. You know, I kind of had an idea when I got saved that everything's just going to never have another problem. And I didn't have for a week. But you see, what happened in the fourth chapter of the book of St. Matthew? What happened there? The Spirit done what? Drove him into the wilderness. To be what? To be tempted of the devil. So temptations we're going to have. But James, in his scripture, has a cure for that, or something that brings virtue into this. And he said, James chapter 1, verse 2, count it all joy when you fall in divers temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience, but let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Count it all joy. When you've got a trial, discount it all joy. Rejoice in it anyhow. Why can I rejoice in that? Because Jesus is the Son of God. How many's got Jesus on the inside of you? I'm looking at a whole crowd of people. I can tell that Jesus is on the inside of you. If he can give you power, and if he's on the inside of you, then you can have the Holy Ghost on the inside of you and bring that scripture to pass in John 7:38. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. This spake he of the Spirit, that they that believe on him should receive. For the Holy Ghost was not yet given, for Jesus was not yet glorified. Jesus is glorified in the hour that we live today, and so therefore we're filled with the Holy Ghost. Guess what's supposed to happen with us? We're supposed to have rivers of living water flowing out from the inside of us. That's the pattern. Jesus said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. So how did God choose to send his Son? He intended for him to be born in a miraculous way. So he sent the Holy Ghost to a virgin named Mary. And she conceived and bare this son, Jesus. He wasn't born in a ritzy hotel. He was born in a manger. How many knows that Jesus is born in the manger of your heart? hit that one now. Your heart is a manger. It's a place where the seed was sowed in your heart. The seed of Christ. A sower went forth and sowed the seed. Some fell by the wayside, but some fell on good ground. And it brought forth 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. But the sower, it takes a sower to sow the seed. What is the seed? He tells us plainly in the book that it's the Word of God. The Scripture said, one place, heaven and earth shall pass away, but my Word shall not pass away. It's everlasting. It's eternal. So Jesus was born in a manger. He was took into Egypt and hid out from Herod when he was a baby. He was raised up in a carpenter shop. And then one day there was a call came. And Jesus began to walk down the shores of the Jordan River. And he came to where John was baptizing people there. And he walks right out in the water and spoke to John to baptize him. John said, I need to be baptized of thee. He said, suffer it to be so to fulfill what? All, how much? All, I like that part, all scripture is profitable for doctrine. All righteousness. Suffer it to fulfill all righteousness. Now, how does it say that Jesus fulfilled his righteousness? And are we supposed to be fulfilling righteousness today? How many believes that? Let's turn our Bibles to Romans chapter 8 and begin with verse 1. Take a few verses there and let's look at that. It goes along with what I'm preaching, so I just want to bring it in. And listen to what Jesus does for us. There is therefore now. How you like that now? There is therefore now no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, there's no condemnation. Who took that away? Jesus, because they walk not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son, how many got that? In the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemn sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in you, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So look what a work there's done. So he fulfilled all righteousness. Then he says, our job is to fulfill all righteousness, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in who? In us, who what? Who walk not after the flesh. What's happened to the flesh? What's supposed to happen to our flesh? The old man is what? Huh? The old man's passed away. How many know passed away means dead? See, that's our job. His job is to kill out the old man and resurrect the new man. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3, he said that I may know him and the power of his resurrection. If we could just get to the place that we really knowed him and the power of his resurrection, that power of his resurrection, just imagine what it might have been. When I was in Israel in 1973 and got to go in there where the tomb was, I could imagine they had a stone. The stone was rolled away and it wasn't there anymore, but you could see the track where it rolled in. It was a great white. And it was tall around as big as this building is high. And they rolled that away. But the power of his resurrection rolled away the stone. And Jesus came out. The power of his resurrection. Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God unto salvation. First to the Jew and then to the Greek and whosoever believeth. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it's the power of God unto salvation. We're going to go to a few more scriptures here. Read some here just a minute. These scriptures are in the Old Testament. As you know, I guess everybody nearly knows that the Bible is divided in two testaments, the Old Testament and the New Testament. And the New Testament really testifies of Christ because he has came. He has overcame death, hell, and the grave. He is risen. But it's in prophecy in the Old Testament. Let's read Isaiah chapter 34 and verse 16. Speaking of the Bible, back in the Old Testament. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord. Isaiah 34:16. Seek ye out of the book of the Lord and read. No one of these shall fail. None shall want her mate. For my mouth it hath commanded, and his spirit it hath gathered them. Now it's by the spirit. Zechariah chapter 4 verse 6 said, it is not by might, it is not by power, but it is by my spirit, saith the Lord. Some folks today are wondering what's the matter with the churches today, why they're not like they used to be. I'll tell you what, it's the lack of the Spirit. It's the lack of producing the Spirit in the church. See, everything operates spiritually. In fact, the matter is, every one of us is a spirit with a body and with a soul. We're a spirit, and you find that in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, that the whole spirit, soul, and body be found blameless at the coming of the Lord. So we have a spirit and a soul and a body and the whole man. How many knows he's interested in the whole man? Somebody said God's not interested in the flesh. Yes, he is. Did you know it takes this flesh to carry around the spirit? Huh? How can you hear without a preacher? I'll tell you what, I got scriptures in here, but it takes flesh to carry them around. Jesus made it that way. He made it that way. He made you in the flesh, and then you carry around what your experience is. You know, it's how much that we experience in the things of God, how deep our experience is. You know, I preached the other night, or I guess it was here, but the five virgins that took oil, and then the five that took no oil. And the oil represents how deep their experience was. And it found out that the ones that had no oil, what kind of experience do you think they had? The ones that had oil, what do you think their experience was? They had oil. What does the oil represent? The spirit. So they had a spiritual experience. They moved in the spirit. But the others were just traveling along. They had no oil. When the bridegroom came, and they trimmed their lamps and everything, the ones that had oil went in. But what did the others say? Let me borrow some of your oil. You know, the people that goes to church have borrowed till they've, you know, we talk about our government being $16 trillion in debt, but you know, people have borrowed from others that's got the spirit till it's time they get down and get some oil themselves. How many knows that? You know, the people, somebody has to have it. Somebody said, why don't we have this in the church? Why don't we have the power in the church? Why don't we have this? Why isn't miracles taking place like they used to? I'll tell you what, it's because the experience is getting poor. They're losing their oil, or they didn't take no oil or something or other, because that is our experience. Let's take another one here. Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17 and verse 11. These are more noble than those of Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind, and searched the scriptures daily whether those things were so. How many got that one? Acts chapter 17, verse 11. Listen to it again. Read it. And these are more noble than those of Thessalonica, the more noble ones. Why was it? In that they received the word with all readiness of mind. They received the word with what? All readiness of mind. They were willing. And searched the scriptures, that's what I'm preaching tonight, daily. They searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. So, they were ready to receive the word of God. One scripture said, receive you the engrafted word which is able to save your soul. So we have to be receivers. And as I said the other night, we talk about the seven churches in Revelations chapter 2 and chapter 3. There's seven churches there, and every one of them, you know what he says to them? He says these words to every one of them. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit has to say to the church. Now, you know, when Jesus died upon the cross, buried in a tomb, overcame death, hell, and the grave, and came out of there with a glorified body, he could walk through a wall, he could eat a honeycomb, he ascended on high, sat down at the right hand of the Father, and when he sat down at the right hand of the Father, he's pleading our case. And that is a spiritual experience that you and I have because he's setting work at the right hand of the Father. You have to go through him to get to the Father. So you have to pray through the Son to get to the Father. He's the way, he's the truth, he's the life. So look what we're talking about here. The spiritual experience come because he died upon a cross. He shed his blood for our sin. He died upon the cross. they took the whip and they beat him till the flesh come out of his, to, nearly to the bone, you know, this horrible beating. And he took those stripes, for by his stripes we are healed. Huh? And finally he ascended on high, and he sat down at the right hand of the Father, and he prayed the Father send what? Another comforter, and that's the Holy Ghost. How many degrees that's the Holy Ghost? Well, what about the Holy Ghost? Ain't the Holy Ghost the power of the Spirit? So now that we may know him and the power of his resurrection, the power, that's what we know today. That's exactly what we know. Let's turn our Bibles to one more scripture, Romans chapter 15 and verse 4. The things that's written. How many's getting my message here? What is this? Right here, that's the roadmap, or we might call it the blueprint. This is it right here. When you follow a blueprint and you do it exactly like the blueprint says, what do you come out with? You come out with a pattern part. Jesus is our pattern. How many knows that? He said, you know what he said about his Father? He said, he that sent me, that's his Father, is always with me. Why? For I do always what? Those things that please him. Don't you think that God will be with us if we always do the things that please him? I believe he will. I've tried it. And I've tried it a few times I didn't please God. And it ain't a very, you know, the old preachers used to preach this years ago. It's a horrible thing to fall in the hands of a living God. And it is, you know, to have judgment passed because we don't do things right. But here's what he's wanting us to do. He's wanting us to get on the blueprint. This right here. That's the blueprint. Read it. Study to show yourself approved. The workman needeth not be ashamed. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's profitable for doctrine, for reproof. Search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. These are they that testify of me. Search them. You can run them out. It'll prove itself. Listen to what it says here in Romans 15:4. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning. How many knows where the place of learning is in the last day? Isaiah chapter 2 and begin with verse 2. It says, come, let us go up to the mountain of the house of the Lord, and he will teach us his ways, and we will what? We will walk therein. If he teaches us his ways, then we'll walk therein. And it, how many knows it's a blessing to walk with God? It's not something awful. When you're walking with God, you're fellowshipping with God. You usually talk to people that you walk with. How many knows that? You usually hear what people are saying that you're walking with. So we need to walk and we need to talk. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. And then he says over in Corinthians, he said, Paul said, now abideth faith, hope, and charity. These three, but the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is charity, is love. So what is it that fulfills all the law? Charity, love. Love is the fulfilling of the law. It's all in this book, and sometimes we have to really search, really have to dig around to find what we need, but it's all in here. It's a book of maps, blueprints, and it all has ways, the way of the Lord. I like that scripture in John 14:6. I can't quote it enough. He said, I'm the way, I'm the truth, and I'm the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. He said, I'm the way. You remember what he told his disciples when he first chose them? Follow me, and I'll make you to become fishers of men. Let's talk about what is the purpose of church. To win what? The first thing is win souls. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is what? Is wise. The fruit of the righteous. Who was it had the oil in their vessels? There's five wise and five foolish. Which one had the oil in their vessel? The wise. If the fruit of the righteous is the tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise, then I believe that means we'll have some oil. Fruit of the righteous is the tree of life. He that winneth souls is wise. So wisdom is to go win souls. You know, people get doing all kinds of things that kind of hinders them from winning souls, but the whole purpose of thing, you can't get anybody to grow in the Lord until they finally get saved, can you? They're not going to come to church very long. But once you get them into this and get them to winning souls too, you know, it gives them a responsibility.